You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Never underestimate a woman born and raised in New York City.
A princess, but I'm definitely not a drama queen.
My success is built on making women look and feel their best. Holla!
To some people, living elegantly just comes naturally.
I'm not afraid to...
Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing. And tonight we are doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for The Real Housewives of New York City. And tonight we'll be talking about Season 5, Episode 14, which is aptly named Slutty Island.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, I'm going to be your host, Molly Harper, and we have our lovely co-hosts, Anna Koppel and your monger. And via phone, we have Kristen Carney.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
It sounded really awkward.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
I was like, I think we have Kristen Carney. Yeah. Hi, Kristen. We're sorry that you can't be in here with us tonight, but we're glad you're able to reach us via phone.
It's okay, you guys. I'm watching on the computer, and you all look dashing. And Yerman, I have to tell you, tonight... You look to me like a mixture between Tama and Russ.
Thank you, Kristen. You can't see this, everybody, but I wore my Ode to St. Bart's outfit. And, of course, we're sitting in a studio where you can't really see. But the shirt is from the Greek islands. Is that? Yeah? Maybe? No?
No, I'm talking about the eyeliner.
The eyeliner? You think I have eyeliner? Those are my glasses,
I'm kidding,
sweetie. My glasses.
Anyway, she was trying to say you look great.
Thank you.
Look
sorry.
Very beachy chic.
Thank you.
So, wow, what an episode. I think this was the most exciting episode by far, personally. And it seemed like a really long episode. Like, a lot happened.
Yeah.
Sometimes things seem long when they're boring, too.
You didn't find the episode enticing?
The way that you presented that, you're like, it was so peaceful. Like, sometimes things seem long when they're boring.
You didn't like the episode?
I did like the episode, but I paused it and walked away probably four times for some reason. I don't know. Maybe. But I did like the episode.
I paused it and walked away a few times because I could not handle the tension. And the arguing got to me. It made me sad. So I would like, I can't handle all this. I can't handle this hate. I have to pause. Breath. Have a cup of tea.
Yeah,
press play.
That was part of it. Like, it's just a lot to take in. And then it had to sort of let it sink in. And
yeah.
These women just behave like children.
So it's radically different than normal people.
It's fascinating. It's amazing. So first we're going to talk about who gonna get Monsieur Thomas?
Yes.
Who gonna get him?
Who gonna get him?
Is it gonna be Luann, the brunette, or the blonde?
Is it maybe Luann, or maybe peut-être Sonia, or maybe little bitty Ramona?
Even though it's weird, because it seemed like Ramona was very much in the mix, but wasn't Ramona in the category of people who can't have him?
Yes, but I think Ramona can't differentiate herself from Sonia. So when she means... She kept implying that she wanted Toma, but what she really meant was Sonia.
Oh, okay. So she was just acting on Sonia's behalf as her proxy?
Yes, because like I mentioned earlier, they share a brain.
Right.
So I think that's what was going on.
Well, should have known.
Yes, Kristen?
I think Ramona was... I'm going to awkwardly interject when it seems very inappropriate because you guys can't see me. But I think Ramona definitely thinks like Sonia, but I think she also was using flirtation, which... Ramona flirting with anyone I don't think would ever get her anywhere. Just in general, this wouldn't appeal to me. But I think by flirting with him, she was trying to get some of the info out just to bother Luann. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't think Ramona had any sort of attraction to him. I think she was just trying to make Luann mad and make her nervous.
Yeah, Kristen, I totally agree. I think she was just trying to nail Luann. And I felt really bad for Tomas. I mean, not bad to the place, like, definitely getting plenty of play out of these women, but he just kept trying to say, like, yeah, I saw you at the tea. Like, just drop it, you know?
I didn't have any sort of pity for Jack Sparrow whatsoever. First of all, interestingly enough, was that – so, Kristen, you said Ramona is flirting. Was that flirting with Tomas? Because it looked like just putting him in a corner and being like, so, like, did you hang up? Did you hook up? Like, how about now? Like,
well,
how about
it's
now?
It's almost like Ramona goes into some sort of bobblehead figurine when she's flirting, and she was really moving her head back and forth, and her eyes got really big. And to me, it looked like a sexual kind of energy she was trying to portray. But again, I think she looks like she should be on the dashboard of someone's car with a bobblehead. But.
Kristen, I would agree. I think her bobbleheading was definitely like her mating call, and she was trying to get a little attention. Just, I don't think she would have acted on anything. I really don't, because I think it's clear she loves Mario. But I think she just wanted the attention.
So did we get a taste of what brought Mario into the fold? Is that what hooked Mario in? The bobbleheading? He's like, oh, I got to get me some of that.
I think
so. Yeah, he was always attracted to those as a kid.
Interesting.
He's like, oh, you know, I love those toy bobbleheads. Give me more
okay.
of those.
That's really funny. Okay, so I love it. So let's talk about what was this? They were implying that Tomas was bisexual,
right? They said he was because he had makeup on and he was wearing a vest in like St. Bart's, where it's probably 85 degrees, and people are barely wearing a shirt, let alone a leather vest.
It was just by how he looks that they were insinuating.
Yeah, and his name is Tomas. And he speaks French, so clearly he must be again one of those things. Did I get this wrong? Or what was it?
No.
Was it really? I don't know why I turned to you, Anna. All of a sudden I did. But
well, everybody knows that I'm the leading expert on bisexuality. So,
I think so.
I have no idea. I think it was just these women being totally ignorant again. And
they just maybe
I think it was like, I think Sonia was using it as a way to kind of maybe hint at talking about sex with him because she was clearly very interested. So it was almost like an eighth grader, you know, talking, like bringing up in like the topic awkwardly, because hopefully that might unleash something within them or, to, you know, I don't know. I think Sonia was not saying it seriously. They just talk like high school girls. That was a total high school move in my mind. You want to kind of flirt with someone, you're like, oh, talk about something kinky and sexual, but like casually, where you're not really talking about it, but you kind of are.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think even high school is putting too far ahead of it. I honestly felt like it was middle schoolers when you don't exactly know how to handle things like love and romance and sex. What's that?
Middle schoolers shouldn't be at the level of bisexuality yet. We have to keep them at like the kissing and touching, just
right.
Basic. Like,
but
they got into the menage.
Absolutely.
That whole thing. So
yeah, that whole there was
in the high school
yeah,
years.
That's right. There was a whole discussion about a menage a seven and so on. I mean, I get that middle schoolers can't be that sexually savvy, but the uncomfortability in which they were honestly, it was almost as ridiculous as that scene in Finding Nemo when the seagulls all sit and stare at dad and go mine. It was like that. It was these people just literally competing with each other, and it almost felt like I was watching like those 1980s quirky movies about camp when everybody wants the same guy and all the girls are like falling over themselves trying to get him, and who's going to get him is who's going to use their wily ways, and nobody's wily ways looked right. Everybody's was kind of awkward because you were laughing at them.
I just personally thought it was gross that Sonia wanted Tomas so badly, because it's like, you know, who wants Luann's sloppy seconds?
Right.
And secondly, obviously, I think it's very clear that these women are of a different generation, because our generation and those younger than us are concerned about things like STDs. These women who are in their 40s and 50s are like, you had sex with him yesterday? Sure, I'll have sex with him today. Like, it's not even a concern that Tomas might be STD ridden.
And doesn't
or
he
laden.
Still have a girlfriend?
Yes.
I mean,
right. And apparently he also has a body double.
Yes.
Which I'm assuming is Johnny Depp himself, I guess, would be the case there.
My body double.
Yeah, my body double, meet Johnny. You mean Johnny Depp? Yes, this is Johnny. Johnny, meet my fans. I am Johnny's body double.
I think we could make an entire topic of the amount of bruises that Thomas put on Sonia's body.
Did they really show it?
No. Yes! Oh my God, she had bruises all here. It looked like three fingerprints. She had like a big one here. She had them everywhere.
And remember there were like several episodes ago we were talking about where does Sonia get these bruises? What's going on? And they said now the bruises make sense.
Yes, now the bruises. Yeah, Heather was saying
she
that,
had a lot of bruises. I can't believe you missed the bruises.
I missed the bruises. I was like, I think I missed something here because I didn't see. I don't remember seeing the bruises, but I know that they were talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sonia's bruises could be a whole topic. So anyway, I think that Luann, she played it. I could tell she was kind of deep down seething because she didn't want Sonia to have Thomas. But in a way, she must have had satisfaction in knowing she had him first.
So are we clear or are all you ladies under the impression that Thomas was there, that it wasn't a body double, and that him and Luann did get it on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And he and Sonia got it on, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no, we don't need to doubt anymore? That's been established?
I never doubted.
I was just trying to give her...
It's just so funny that Luann would default to Italian friends because we all know that she has a lot of French friends. And the chances, it was weird because if you truly ran into Italian friends you haven't seen in years on an island, you would not be so fascinated with the fact that, like, they came over. You would be more fascinated with the fact that you saw them.
Right.
And so you could tell that Luann was lying because if that was the case, she would say, oh my God, I can't believe the chances that we would run into each other here and then I would get to spend this time with them because I haven't seen. It was more like, oh yes, my fabulous group of Italian friends. That's not where you would go if that was the truth.
Not to mention that she brought Thomas into Heather's room. So if you're going to go with the group of Italian friends, you probably shouldn't be parading Thomas into the other ladies' rooms.
That is just not good clandestine work, Luann. You should have covered your trail better.
Mm-hmm. Right, and Luann was almost saying, like, hey, guys. Like, what she was saying in between the lines was, hey, guys, I'm going to lie through my teeth right now, and you could all just get on board with the story. I'm going to continue to say it until you all kind of just agree and nod. Can we just, yes, agree, no? And then, you know, it was like she was trying to secretly trick them into just going along with it and, like, agreeing to her lie. The whole time it was like, wink, wink. I'm saying this, wink, wink. And I was like, Luann, just say, hey, guys, just don't tell Jacques. That would be pretty cool, you know, because obviously you all know.
Yeah. Right.
My favorite part of the episode was when Heather said that watching Luann and Sonia argue over Thomas, or not really argue, but kind of compete for Thomas was like some sort of mating ritual, which lucky lady will take home the greasy prize.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That cracked me up because he really, I mean, he's...
Well, Heather said, we have a winner after that, and I feel like she should have said, and we have a loser.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, anyway, so, and then I guess the, was there anything else to talk about as far as Thomas? Do we think we'll see Thomas again, or do you guys think Thomas has had his day and he's done?
I certainly hope we see him again.
I kind of want to see him again. I kind of want to see what happens because, as we all know, there's now a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean now. So you really – people just can't get enough of – there's people just can't get enough of Jack Sparrow, and I cannot get enough of Thomas.
There's nothing more pathetic to me than a guy who already looks like Johnny Depp than dressing like Johnny Depp. Like, if you look like Johnny Depp, then dress – totally opposite. Like, wear something from Ralph Lauren buttoned up and wash off the eye makeup because it just looks pathetic. You just look like you're trying so hard. And I find Thomas to be really attractive. I find him more attractive if I could just call him Thomas.
But he's in St. Bart's and it's a Caribbean island and that's where pirates are from. So
right,
he has to look.
It's like, don't be so expected. The expected is so boring. If you look like Johnny Depp, walk around in an outfit that Tom Cruise would wear.
Well,
like,
here's the thing.
Different.
Well, if you look like Thomas, but you were completely hitting and missing with the ladies, then or swinging and missing, that is to say, then I'd be like, okay, well, time to reevaluate your look and go for something a little different. But clearly, there's plenty
like
of ridiculously weird rich women from New York who will throw themselves at everyone that looks even remotely like Thomas. So Thomas just fine. He's doing just fine.
I agree. Thomas doing just fine. But I also see, like, what Kristen's saying, he looks like a Johnny Depp impersonator, which is kind of corny. But on the other hand,
it's like he should be standing on Hollywood Boulevard.
He does look like he should be standing on Hollywood Boulevard. But on the other hand, the women feel like, well, this is as close to Johnny Depp that I can get. So I'll take Thomas.
Right.
They feel like, and then they can go home and be like, oh my God, look at the pictures of this guy. I know he looks just like Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that should be the name of the segment. I'll take Thomas.
I'll take Thomas. Hey guys, if you guys could take a second to go to iTunes and rate and comment and tell a friend, it only takes a minute and it keeps our podcast growing and growing. And we would really, really appreciate that. I just want to throw that out there. And we do read your comments and we love them. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
So I guess we should
I agree.
Copy that? You copy that. Okay.
Yeah,
so I guess we should get into the other main segment of the show, which was pretty much all about Aviva.
Yeah.
All about Aviva should be the name of the
That should be the name of the next segment. All
should
about
have been
Aviva.
The name of the episode. Except for Slutty Island. But so okay, Viva's plane arrival.
Yeah,
this
so
is the
phase
long
one.
Awaited airplane ride.
Yeah. Was it really that bad?
I mean, you know, she had the option to take a boat. There is a ferry.
Oh.
Which to me is just absurd that they put, it's like, yeah, you don't want to take the plane, take the boat.
Wait, how long is it that much of a difference in total time traveled?
Well, I'm sure the boat takes longer, but.
Interesting. It's not
it's
like
she, doable.
Yeah.
She could have flown from, her fear is planes in general. We get that. But her main fear or the main excuse she said was she hates small confined planes, like tiny prop plane.
Okay.
So rather than taking the short plane, she could have taken the ferry.
A boat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't she have an issue with all machines, though?
Yes, technically. Machinery, well, confined spaces. There's probably, I don't know,
she's
maybe the
problem with cars. She said she has a problem with subways.
No, she said she also does it. She did mention at some point in the season that she does sometimes feel weird when she gets into a car ride for too long. Like, she doesn't like being in cars. That's why she has a driver. She doesn't really like the idea of maybe operating a vehicle so much on her own. I think. If I remember correctly, I think she mentioned it. So I don't know if the boat. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's still, you can like go out in the dock, you know, into the open area. Probably it's probably like a ferry where you can just sit outside if it's a nice day. Obviously,
yeah.
The waters probably wouldn't be that choppy. You can just hang out and let the let the fresh air kind of wask over you.
All right, Captain Irma.
You can call me Captain Ron. From now on, I'm Captain Ron to Tomas's Jack Sparrow.
You're like, water wouldn't be choppy. There'd be a good.
What she could do
there.
Is she could go to the aft of the ship, otherwise known as the front.
I'm not trying to be insensitive. I get it that she's obviously been through a lot of trauma in her life, but I just wonder if she's hamming up the anxiety for the cameras. She seemed like she was to me. Did you guys feel like she was being genuine?
I don't know.
I think she hams up the anxieties in a social way. I don't think she hams it up on the plane when she's flying and looking scared. I think that's very genuine. But I think when she's around the women, she uses it too much as a crutch, which I don't know if that's a pun, but she is turning it up in terms of using it to be treated a certain way. And I think that's when it becomes a little bit too much. It's like, yes, we understand your husband helped you get here, and you know you should be greeted graciously, but rolling out a red carpet, that's a little much. Like, that's like, okay, there are pills like Xanax to avoid red carpets. You know, you don't need that level of acceptance. It's like, we get it. You have a fear, move on. Like, we get it.
It's like she's demanding respect. She's saying, I have this anxiety, therefore I demand respect. And I want everyone to bow down to me.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have crazy amounts of anxiety, and I never once have I used it to make myself, like, more appealing to someone. Usually it's something that would turn people off, and she's trying to use it to almost be like charismatic or something.
She's using it as her main personality trait, I feel.
Right.
Like, I'm Aviva, I'm the anxious one. Which, you're right, Kristen.
Again,
I mean, everybody has...
Unless you,
issues with anxiety to some degree, but it's usually something you don't want to talk about in public because you want to have friends.
Right, and again, unless you're pursuing a career in comedy or as a remake of Woody Allen, it doesn't really work, you know?
Yeah, so. It's funny.
Well, I disagree. I think, you know, we talked to Aviva. She said that she kind of wanted to be like a spokesperson for these kinds of things. I think it's brave to talk about anxiety. I mean, it's like it's a real issue. And I think that it's definitely still a judged issue. I think that her anxiety is definitely real. And I think, I mean, I definitely have had anxiety. My one of my really close relatives suffers from panic attacks, and I think that she definitely was on the verge of one. Those can be brutal. I mean, my family member had to be hospitalized several times. He thought he was dying, and it's just a mess. So, and it's definitely exhausting. So she's just like, and travel is exhausting anyway. So she's just traveled. She has this anxiety. She's probably drained completely. And Reed right now is her savior and her protector. And so to walk into a house where women are just kind of rude and kind of disrespectful probably feels like a huge personal attack to her.
Well, that's for
sure.
Well,
I have a couple comments on what you're saying. Yeah. Yes, she's being a spokesperson, but she's made it very clear she's a spokesperson for One Step Ahead Foundation. She's never made any comment about being a spokesperson for any sort of anxiety disorders. In fact, she's never mentioned any sort of professional treatment for anxiety disorder. She's never mentioned any foundation for anxiety disorder. So I don't feel like she's being a spokesperson for anxiety disorder. If she were, then I would feel like maybe this would have more, I don't know, validity to me, the amount of times she brings it up. But she's never even mentioned seeing a doctor or any foundations or anything. I am not saying that anxiety disorders aren't a serious issue, because I definitely think they are. But I just think that considering the fact that she's never made any comments about promoting anxiety awareness in a professional manner, I feel like she's hamming it up for attention and for the women, for kind of like her, she's using it like, in my opinion, like a get out of jail free card. Like, you can't be mad at me because I have anxiety disorders, or you can't be mad that I'm not coming because I have anxiety disorders. And I don't really think she's doing any beneficial work for anxiety disorders. I don't believe she's any tied to anything that she's mentioned anyways on the show. Hmm. So,
well, here's what I'm not understanding. Is it had to be at some point a decision on the production team to spend that amount of time showcasing her trip down there, correct? So it's to a certain extent, I also have to blame somewhat the editing, because maybe Aviva – I mean, a lot of times obviously we're told that these people behind the scenes are told to play certain things up or to play a certain role within the confines of a situation, whether it be social or whatever. So maybe she didn't necessarily need this to be – so put out there, but yet the producers decided, I mean, that was like a legitimate segment of time that they continued to film her. You know, first they were in the shuttle on the way to the plane, then they get in the plane, then there's all the footage and coverage of them in the plane, then afterwards as they ride up to the house. So it's not like they needed to stay on that entire time. They could have just shown a quick clip of her holding hands with Reed, saying, "I'm really nervous, I'm kind of scared, but here I am doing it," and then moved on. But yet the production seemed to kind of exacerbate whatever judgment we're making on the fact that she's trying to play this up, because they didn't help by just saying, "Let's do a quick cut and we're out." They were kept hammering it away. So by the time that we got to the house and everybody kind of saying hello to each other, I felt almost as anxious as she might have been. I mean, that's ridiculous. Obviously, I understand that, how ridiculous that sounds, but there was a certain level of anxiety on my part to see, like, okay, she's here. She's good. Now what? Now how are people going to react? So I was just a little confused by that decision on the editor's part and the production team.
I agree. And I think, unlike a lot of the other cast members of other Real Housewives shows, where there's a lot of drama and a lot of like classlessness that goes on that makes for really good TV, for the most part, these women are educated and don't have as much drama as a lot of the other housewives on other shows. So I think that they're taking some of these issues and some of these circumstances and really playing them up. What else do they have, quite frankly? I mean, if they weren't exacerbating like this whole Aviva's anxiety issue, there wouldn't really be a lot to talk about as far as Aviva goes, besides her leg and her occasional fights because she didn't, from the beginning, she wasn't really bringing that much to the table. I mean, well, now she is, but
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kristen.
Oh, sorry, guys. I do think that Aviva is showing, Molly, I totally agree, in terms of the personality trait thing. It's like, you know, you take an angle and you run with it. And if that's what she's giving you, if that's all she's giving you, you have to go with it. But I do think it's showing more of who Aviva actually is, and not in a bad way and not in a good way. I just think in general, it's kind of showing that she, like she said at dinner, she said to Carol, if you, you know, once you get me really mad, I'm relentless. And so that's something that we didn't know about her. So I think that the anxiety is the first front of her personality, and then behind that are her, you know, true traits that we wouldn't see unless they were really brought out by this anxiety thing. So maybe like this is the anxiety is the key unlocking the rest of Aviva, which I think is good. But I do want to say that Aviva's playlist gives me more anxiety than it would take away. I just wanted to point that out.
What? In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel? That gives you anxiety?
Shaka Khan.
Yeah. Shaka Khan Ain't Nobody by Shaka Khan gives you anxiety?
Yes, I need soothing and anxious moments.
You're like, I'll take things. Enya, like, please, at door number one.
In Your Eyes makes me feel more like nervous about my childhood. It reminds me of my childhood. And feeling uncomfortable in my childhood. Although I love the song, I don't agree with her list of anxiety.
I think her playlist also aged her. I don't. It made me not believe that she was really 39 or whatever she claims to be. Because, come on, do 38, 39. Right. Do women in their late 30s listen to Chaka Khan and whatever? I don't think so. Anyway, so let's like move on to when Aviva and Reed arrive at the house and how they were welcomed or not welcomed in Aviva's eyes.
So that's the question I would want to ask you all. So as far as ladies go, one thing I didn't really know because I don't have any frame references. So a guy as like Reed drops off his wife and just like a good guy can, he says, okay, I'm good. I've got some work to do. I'll let you ladies be to it and I'm out. So would you then at that point voice any sort of opinion like, oh, I thought he was going to stay and ruin dynamics? And would anyone make – so would you at all throw any of that out there, or would that either be A, self-explanatory, or B, moot?
Right. That's why it was so rude and so disrespectful. Like, here's Reed being a good guy, being so supportive to his wife. He's like, hey, listen, this is your trip. I'm going to go lock myself in a bedroom and work, and that's it. And they're like, oh, well – we're really glad that you're not ruining the trip, like, because that was our big concern.
Right.
We were going to send you to a hotel. So go work. Why would you say that? That's so rude. Like, be polite. Be cordial. You can talk to the man for 3 minutes without him ruining your girl's trip.
Or maybe offer him a drink. I mean, he's in an island. Just be like, you can have a drink first, then you can go. Or take a drink with you.
Or how about, hi, Reed.
Let's all face it. Reed was wearing pink. And so he fit in more than they were expecting.
Maybe. I liked him.
I thought he looks cute.
Yeah. He's good. The pink with the navy jacket. That's good. That's St. Bart's wear.
No? St. Bart's-y. It's preppy.
It's better than Jack Sparrow.
I definitely agree that the way Ramona and Aviva went, or I'm sorry, Ramona and Sonia went about the whole thing was wrong. But I, on the other hand, I do get the idea that it does change the vibe. Mm-hmm. I would never go out and say that outwardly to someone who, you know, is, you know, having problems and issues, and, you know, I'd be polite. But in the back of my head, I would be thinking probably what they were thinking, and, you know, Ramona's thing is she thinks she says what everyone thinks. And maybe not everyone would think that, but I can see how they would say, you know, this dynamic will change because there is a new, it doesn't even matter man or woman, just having someone new kind of brought into a trip that's already on its way does change things. But I wouldn't say that necessarily.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Not on a reality show.
Well, that wasn't my question. Yeah, I totally get the fact that you know, there was a fear. I mean, obviously, it's guys do that too. It's like, hey, guys' weekend. And then somebody's like, well, can I bring my girlfriend along? Guys would feel the same way. Like, I don't know. It was supposed to be kind of a guy's weekend. Obviously, a girl would change the dynamic of the situation. The fact that there would be a suspicion that the dynamics would be changed makes all the sense in the world to me. I was just wondering if it made any sense to mention it. Because at that point, you're already two dudes in. There was already Russ, early, what, were they not going to say anything to Russ? Oh, why? Because it was, this is technically Carol's deal that they didn't, that Russ is okay, but Reed isn't. It's, the dynamics have already changed. The question is, okay, well, once Reed already pretty much solved your question and answered it for you, that's what I was wondering, is if it, would you still technically say something for no apparent reason?
Well, no. How about the fact that Tomas's been spending every night there?
Yeah. Right.
That seems fine with the rest of the ladies.
Right, so...
Right, they're okay when it's like a boy toy.
Yeah, when it's a boy toy. But the other thing, I mean, I definitely agree. And Kristen, last week I said, I felt the same sentiments. I said, you know, that I felt like if I were one of the ladies, I would be kind of like, oh, Viva's coming. It kind of ruins
yeah.
I mean, not to be rude, but, you know, we already have our thing going on. And then a read to, like, okay. But... So, but, however, I don't think Aviva was any saint. I mean, Aviva saying, I was expecting a party when I arrived. I was expecting the women to be thanking him and give him an, she was like, give him a hug and kiss and go up to him and thank him so much. You know what? Not really necessary, Aviva. Like, you can't, and you can't tell other women what to do. She was being so controlling. And I just found her whole personality on this episode really not becoming. But, it's like she wanted them to be jumping with joy that Reed brought her. Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, she should have said, hey, ladies, thank you so much for letting me, for letting Reed and me come on this trip. I know it might make you a little uncomfortable to have a man in the house. She didn't say anything like that. She didn't validate how they're feeling at all. And I think that's probably why they were so irritated.
Yeah.
If she had just said, hey, girls, you know, I know you're probably not super thrilled that Reed is here. He'll stay out of your hair as much as possible. Thank you so much. I'll really try to make sure he's not around too much so you can have the freedom of your girls' weekend. Then, yeah, I think they would have been more on board with her.
Yeah, it seems like...
She didn't say anything like that.
I would agree with you. I think, oddly enough, in my head, it's replaying as not as a what she should have said, but like what should have happened scenario. Mm-hmm. Is like, it seems like they should have stepped onto the deck. Everybody should have been there. Reed should have said, hi, everybody. I brought Aviva. She's here. Everybody would have said, hi, Aviva. Hi, Reed. Fantastic. Aviva should have turned to Reed and said, sweetie, thank you so much for getting me here safe and sound. I love you. You're the best. Everybody else would have said in one fell swoop, in unison, thanks, Reed. And then Reed would have said, okay, everybody, Aviva's all yours. I got to do some work. Everybody have fun. Be good. I'm out. And then everybody would have been like, party. That's kind of how it should have logically played out in my head. Instead, it went south from like, hi, everybody, to, oh, my God, they're not coming out of the pool. Dude, they were topless. What do they not want to – they kind of didn't want to pop up in front of Reed and be like, what's up, Reed? You know, all jiggly and stuff. I kind of get that too. And Aviva's like, that was so uncalled for. I cannot believe they didn't get out of the pool. They knew we were coming. Well, I'm pretty sure they didn't know, like, timestamp, like, ETA, we have Aviva and Reed arriving at 8:42 p.m. Central Sharp. Okay, we are go for Aviva and Reed coming. Get out of the pool. Get out of the pool. Everyone out of the pool. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. Yeah.
But they were.
I mean, I definitely think that, you know, they could have thrown around the idea of Reed staying in a hotel because, like, we've determined that Aviva's fears are small spaces that are moving and operating in machines. She's not afraid to stay. She hasn't said that she's afraid to stay alone in a hotel room with other women. She hasn't said that. So I think if she did throw that out there, like, would you want Reed to get a hotel room? Because if you think about it, if your parents come to visit you and your husband or you and your boyfriend in a one bedroom apartment or something, they wouldn't be really necessarily sleeping on the pullout couch. They would get a place because you're all adults and it gets like a little weird for. You know, maybe the father-in-law to be, you know, seeing the son getting out of bed. So I think in general, I get Aviva saying that they were classless, but I think that would have also been kind of classy because it's almost like the parents staying in the hotel room with the kids. So I think maybe they should have offered that up as an option.
I agree.
Well, yeah. But the thing is Carol invited Reed also.
Right.
Carol also invited Reed to be a guest. And...
Yeah.
And,
but she kind of had to. I mean, basically, she had to invite him to get Aviva to come.
Okay, but, and that's the other part of my point, is they were kind of hounding Aviva for weeks to come down and stay there. So she probably felt obligated to go, and then when she wasn't welcomed as warmly as she may have expected, it was, really, like, great. Like, I came down here, wasn't really thrilled about it, now I'm here, and you're being rude, and... So I think after she's like sort of agreed to go, why would she then say, oh, do you want Reed to go stay in a hotel now that like we finally agreed to come be your guests? It doesn't make sense.
The other thing, though, is that she, like what you said, she wasn't thrilled about it. I think she should have come in with energy of like, hey, guys, I made it alive through the flight and I'm so excited to be here. Instead, she came in with energy of like, she felt like she was trudging up the stairs, like she did not want to be there. And yeah, nobody's going to jump up and down and welcome you when you're like,
right, when they've already gotten into vacation.
Yeah, they're already in party mode and she shows up not very, she's not exactly the life of the party.
Well, the other thing that that I think affects this whole thing is that Aviva keeps saying that Ramona and Sonia, she thought, were her friends, and real friends wouldn't be objecting to that kind of thing. But here's the deal. Real friends don't meet each other on reality shows.
Right.
So these aren't real friends. These are friends that were formulated in a factory for you to become friends with. So you can't think that these women are going to be there for you because they love you so deeply. They don't know you. They're on a TV show with you.
Right.
You can't expect the same behavior of a friend from 20 years ago. If a friend from 20 years ago did, it's a different story. But these women are basically, they're not really friends. You can call them friends all you want because you go to parties together, but they're acquaintances. And acquaintances don't really give a shit about one or another. So Aviva's expectations, I think, are high. I understand where she's coming from, but I think they're too high. It's like, first of all, it's Ramona and Sonia, even if it were your friends. Second of all, they aren't really your friends, so don't expect that type of like warm, loving behavior between old good friends who went to high school together.
So I have two questions. One, when does Aviva's gradient seem a little extreme for going from I'm okay to I am yelling at the top of my voice and angry at you? Is that a little extreme? One, and two, do women really have costume changes for boat rides? Is that a thing? Like where you change costumes through an all-day boat ride? Is that so you just don't walk around with like a wet bathing suit like half the day? Is that a weird thing?
Well, you're not really supposed to walk around in a wet bathing suit for health reasons. So
Okay, good. Just checking. All right.
In the times that I've spent on St. Bart's yachts, yes. I always costume change. But to your first question, I think that the way it reads to me is that Aviva was getting pressure from producers that she needs to step it up because she was pretty boring earlier in the season. She was always politically, she was Switzerland, as they call it. She was never saying anything negative. She was playing both sides.
I see.
She was not dramatic. I think producers were probably giving her some feedback at this point. Like, you got to step it up, especially if you want to be on the season again. You got
to
bring it a little
you
bit because
you're
boring.
I see.
So I think her screaming at the top of her lungs and calling the women white trash was
awesome.
Slightly manufactured. I don't think the real Aviva would have behaved completely that way.
Yeah.
Being manic over them thanking Reed, the crazy erratic behavior she was having, it was bizarre. And didn't seem typical to what we've seen of her so far. I think that she was, I think she was stepping it up for the cameras so she could guarantee a second season on the show because, frankly, that's what it's all about. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think Aviva also does have a little bit of a, she's behaved so politely that I think, you know, someone who's brought up in a family, they always have to have manners. They always seem to, like, when they go to college, just have sex with way too many people and do too many drugs. Because they're like too short of a leash. I think Aviva keeps herself on a short leash in just her own world by being polite and being nice. And I think when you do that, and your person is anxious, you have a lot of pent up anger. And you know, I think it comes out when you least expect it, and it's not really controllable. So I think Aviva probably did want to step it up and has a little bit of an anger issue.
I agree, Kristen.
But in her defense, I do think Ramona and Sonia are kind of white trashy.
They are. And I agree with you. I think that Aviva, I think she deep down does have those feelings. I think she deep down does find Ramona and Ramonia.
And so are.
Right, white trashy. And I do agree with you. I think you made a good point that she keeps herself on a short leash. However, she doesn't own up to her feelings. I saw her on an interview that was on some sort of like Hollywood Access show or something like that the other day. It was a web show as well. And she, one of the things I love, for example, about Tamara Barney on Real Housewives of OC is she'll say like she'll say horrific things to people, and she'll say what she means, and she doesn't apologize. She's like, yeah, I said that. That's how I felt. Aviva on this show last week, she made the rounds in her pink dress to, like, every talk show there is. She kept saying, well, some really unkind things came out of my mouth that I didn't mean, blah, 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 trying to save her face. It's like, Aviva, just be honest. You meant it. You were angry. You said some pretty nasty things. Just own it. You know, it frustrates me that she tries to backpedal, like, I didn't mean anything I said. No, usually when you're angry, the things you truly mean come out, not the other way around, I think. It's like when people are drunk, they kind of tend to feel more easily to speak their mind. So it was getting on my nerves that last week she was doing this, like, PR campaign to save her prior image of Aviva says nothing negative about anyone.
Well, she apologized for that comment at the very end of the show this week as well. She's like, I apologize for some of the things I said. And then she said it kind of smarkingly snarky?
No, she said, as Rush Limbaugh said, apologize if the word I used offended you.
Right.
She didn't apologize for what she said.
She apologized to Ramona. She said, if there's anything I said that was mean or hurt your feelings. And then again at the table, she said, I shouldn't have said that at the dinner table at the end of the episode.
I just wish she would own it and be like, yeah, I was mad.
Yeah.
And I thought what you did was wrong. And we can move on. But yeah, I was mad.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, I didn't mean anything I said. Then it just makes you come across as crazy. Like, okay, so if you don't mean anything you're saying, then you just go on these, like, screaming rampages where you yell things you don't mean. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I think everyone, when they yell things and they're upset, they always, it's almost like doing stand-up or comedy. When you do your jokes, it's actually what you're actually thinking. And I think with Aviva, when she yells, that is what she's actually thinking. So when people fight and say, oh, they didn't mean what they said, it's like, no, that's exactly what they think all the time. And they finally just had the balls to say it because they were mad enough, you know?
And how about how passive-aggressive she was at the dinner at the end when Ramona said, here's to fun, cheers, and she was like, yeah, fun, 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 fun. It's like, okay, your passive aggression is
fire down. It's supposed to be fun.
Aviva did have a great line, which I don't know. Actually, no, I'm going to save it for
what
she should have said.
How fake was Ramona's apology? I felt like she was apologizing to Aviva just to get back at Luann. Like, I thought she was apologizing to punish Luann somehow. She's like, yeah, I just went and made nice. Like, ridiculous.
Well, like Heather pointed out, I think it was Heather who pointed out that, yes, Ramona does fight, but she doesn't want to fight with more than one person at a time.
Yeah.
And it's so true, and you can see that come through in her apology. And I thought her apology was really, her apology was fake, but her crying was also fake, and it was tears of Ramona being upset that she was being yelled at. I don't think it was Ramona being upset because she was sorry, but she used the tears in that way to kind of win over Aviva when she started to cry.
Did you guys think that Luann was stirring the pot?
Yes.
Which I felt like she was doing that just so she can get the attention off the fact that she also had not been totally honest, I guess, is one way of putting it.
I agree.
Yeah.
She's like, how can I get attention off myself?
Yeah.
Why don't I put everything on them?
Let's throw these in the pit and see what happens. See if anyone's bothering to look back up at me with Toma, my Italian friends.
And I think Luann also likes to get Ramona in a little bit of trouble because we all know they haven't had a great relationship. So I think she likes to throw her under the bus because it makes her feel good.
There was interestingly passive-aggressive statements like that all throughout the episode. Like, do we want a picture with, like, what was Sonia saying? Like, do we want a picture with Heather in it? And then Ramona was saying, like, I'm even getting along with Heather. Like, when things are – when you really want to just be a normal person, courteous person, then you should just – not mention things like that and just let things stand as they are. If you want to say them in the interview, that's fine. But it didn't seem to me that to do much good to yell those things out in the midst of the people that are in earshot to hear them.
Speaking of yelling things out, do you guys want to get into our special segment?
Yes. Yes.
Who wants to go first?
I nominate the lovely Anna.
I only have one.
Excellent.
Carol said, I mean, I don't want to say butt fuck. It's so rude. And what she should have said was, they were totally butt-fucking.
Damn it, I think you guys did both of mine. That's ridiculous.
That was yours?
Well, no, I had, yeah, no, I had Heather's bit, but you said the last fry. I like that whole bit where Heather goes, Carol and I are just on the edge of our seats watching this mating ritual. I mean, which one of these lucky ladies is going to take home the greasy prize when... like you said, it's like which one of these guys is going to be the loser and take home Jack Sparrow? And then the other one for Carol was that part. Why do they bleep it out?
We know.
Know what you said. Like, it just like, I don't know, bleep out just before the word, not the buh and then the kuh at the end, and then bleep out what's in the middle, because we already know. I just like the fact that she said, I'm not going to say that who, but a sex act happened in the house that until recently was considered a felony in 37 states. All of a sudden, I didn't know that the buck thing was one of those felony sex acts that apparently is outlawed in 37. I'm pretty sure that, never mind, I'm not even going to continue that thought. But yeah, and then I thought the island, the theme of the show should have just been, instead of Slutty Island, I think they just should have called this episode Nasty Island, because these women were just so, like, honestly... Thank God for, once again, my favorite character, Carol, who makes me feel like, okay, it's okay for me to feel this way because I'm not the only one. Even she's like, I want off this island.
Well, I guess I'll do mine real quick. Yeah. Sonia said, I think Tomas is bisexual, and what she should have said was bisexual, the way everybody else pronounces it.
That's right. She said bisexual.
Yeah.
And lastly, Aviva said, to Sonia, I went to law school. I went to Vassar. I speak several languages. I hear and understand everything. And what she should have said was, I have a lot of degrees. And Kristen, Kristen, how about you?
Okay, so I have a couple. One is Sonia said to Ramona when they were taking a picture, suck your gut in. And what she should have said is, always suck your gut in.
That's good. It's
always sticking out.
That's good.
I love that.
That's good.
Another one was Aviva when she said, I'll listen to all my favorite songs on my iPad, when she was talking about referring to easing her anxiety. And what she should have said was, I'm so lucky. I'm rich enough. I shouldn't have anxiety. I have an iPad.
Like, that's great. I love that.
did you, as and if then, to say, comma, I have an iPad, like a separate thought?
Period.
I have an iPad. Statement end. I like it. Good.
Do you guys want to get into
No anxiety needed. I have an iPad. I'm lucky enough. I'm like a first world bitch, okay? And then another one was when Aviva, which I actually really like this line, so I don't even really feel like correcting it, but when she said, I don't need Pinot Grigio, I just need my husband. I thought that was pretty good in a quick, you know, fighting scenario. But maybe she could have said, I don't need Pinot Grigio, I need anxiety medicine. I don't know. That one's not funny, but I like that line. And then lastly,
Kristen,
I have...
Kristen?
Yes.
I just want to let you know, we got to keep it moving into news and gossip and predictions in just a moment. So do you have... can you maybe do one more?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. I just want to let you know, we have to wrap it up in a minute.
Okay. The last one is, I'm not dealing with ego bitches, which is what Sonia said. And what she should have said is, that means I'm not friends with you anymore, Ramona.
That's good.
The end.
Nice. The end. I like it.
So who has news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
This just
so in. I have a little news and gossip just in regards to Aviva and her comments. She said that, I'm sorry guys, I'm actually having insane feedback into my ear, so I'm really awkward and uncomfortable right now. I'm going to talk through it pretend this isn't happening.
Okay, we don't hear it, so that's okay.
Okay, good. Okay. So basically, it's just Aviva's comments and what she said, and it's exactly what you just said, Molly. She said, first and foremost, I'm very much against name-calling. It just slipped out, and I regret ever calling anybody a name like that. And then she went on to say, what was behind those words was a tremendous hurt and disappointment in these women that I thought were my friends, and ultimately set me to fail. So that's her comments on that. And then also, Ramona had mentioned Aviva in kind of a passive-aggressive tweet in regards to the episode yesterday, and she said, happy Labor Day, everyone. I just remembered Real Housewives of New York is on, and who's watching Aviva's meltdown?
Ooh.
Yeah. And then lastly, we have Sonia skipped an event specifically recently because Aviva was going to be there. Listeners.
Wow.
That's good.
I like it.
All right, let's move into predictions.
Where's my... There it is.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Oh, yeah. I'm scared. Who's starting? Anna.
I just predict seeing some more Toma and a lot more drinking and a bit of a breakdown from Sonia.
A bit of a breakdown from Sonia?
A bit of a breakdown. A bit okay. more.
Interesting. Kristen, you out there? What's your prediction?
My prediction is that Sonia's bruises will solely just be on her ego from balance.
Ooh. Good
that
one.
That was deep, too. That was deep.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't really know if I have a prediction. I would like to see more Jack Sparrow, a.k.a. Toma, a.k.a. my Italian friends. I would like to see him more.
And I would like to predict that you guys follow us on Twitter. So you can follow me on Twitter at Molly Comedy. That's Molly with a Y, comedy.
And I'm Anna Koppel. You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Yerman Gur, YERMANGUR.
You guys can follow me at Kristen Carney, KRISTENCARNEY.
If you didn't hear that was Kristen Carney, like her name. Yeah. All right, you guys. So I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Okay, let's on to next week. Here we go.
Can't wait.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.